She's a marketing maven. She has defined the marketing strategies for some of South Africa's biggest companies. But here at High FM, we just call her Dina Diamond. This is Monday Marketing.
A very good morning, Dina Diamond. How are you?
I am very, very good, but I am ready for a little bit of summer, like a little bit of an inkling that we're getting there, but it's just not coming.
No, I think it's very early. I like to do these things quite early, but I think it's just a little bit too early.
No, I think you know what it is this year, is that normally, like in July, you can escape to another place, you can escape to maybe Umhlanga or Durban with a little bit of hope of warmth. And now we know that we're not going anywhere.
Absolutely nowhere.
And I have to tell you, a friend of mine posted on Instagram yesterday. She lives in Durban, and she posted a picture of the actual sort of waterfront there, of the promenade. First of all, I don't even think that they know that there's COVID in KZN, because there was not a single person wearing a mask. Wow. And it was summer sunshine.
All right, so let's talk about the Golden Girls.
Yes, I'm very upset about that, because I mean, one little episode, and you know, I think again, we've asked this question, is there an overreaction? Is there being over PC to all of this kind of stuff? And I think the Golden Girls was such an innocent, such a almost childlike, sort of a whole series, that to take one episode out of context like that and cancel the whole entire program is, to me, it's
crazy.
No,
they didn't cancel them all, they just canceled that episode.
Oh, that particular one.
But they are being horribly judged. Horribly judged.
I mean, how can you judge Sophia, Rose, and, I have to tell you, I also thought it was Maud. I don't know why. I think maybe she was Maud in another movie.
I think maybe she was Maud. Dorothy, I think she Maud. Might have had, there might have been a spin-off or something.
She was definitely Maud somewhere.
I think of her as Maud.
I'm going to find out. It's going to be my mission for the day.
So how do we deal with this whole cancel culture? Because it's weird.
It is weird. And also, it's almost like too little too late, and we like overcompensating. I mean, even if you look now at Disney, right? So Disney also recently has come under massive fire for a lot of their stuff being sort of stereotypical and caricaturish of various cultures, etc. I mean, like even Dumbo, okay, came under criticism. And Dumbo was done, you've got to remember, in 1941, right? And so Dumbo became under huge criticism because there's a whole bunch of, I don't know if you remember Dumbo, but they're crows that come flying over, black crows. And,
right.
and the name of the crow is Jim Crow. And it is supposed, and it seems like it's over stereotyped the black voice of like the South. So Dumbo came under criticism. Peter Pan, Aladdin, they all coming now.
What's Peter Pan done besides not growing up? What's he done? Dina.
Peter Pan. He caricatures Native Americans. So yeah. So
you just bring me
like
that wall so I can smash my head against it. I actually can't.
Well, while you're at it, just include the Jungle Book and Swiss Family Robinson with that as well.
Hold on. And this Swiss Family Robinson I kind of get. I mean, they did name the bloke Friday.
Yes, yeah,
and they didn't seem to bother to ask him his name. You know, if we think about it. You know, it's like, yeah, we'll call you Friday. Did anybody bother to ask if he had a name already? But anyway. So there is that, but it doesn't. Do we have to get rid of everything? Can't we just look at it in context? And can't we say that? Look at it in that way and say this was so interesting because this was something that today we would find peculiar or offensive. Why not?
Yeah. But also I think it shows how far we've come as more culturally sensitive society globally and how more connected we are and all of that. I mean, even a thing like Tom and Jerry. So Warner Brothers also had a huge issue with Tom and Jerry.
Yes, I believe that they are just they are just the worst, apparently. Little racists. I mean, who is the racist, Tom or Jerry?
Oh, my goodness.
I think they're both equally racist. Oh. I think. But I mean, even, so I mean, Tom and Jerry, like I remember growing up never thinking of a Tom and Jerry issue. You know what I'm saying? You know, even a movie like a classic, like Gone with the Wind, you know that that's also
gone. That is Gone with the Wind. Yeah.
Literally Gone with the Wind.
Yeah. Well, so, and The Help as well, actually, interestingly enough. Well, The Help is not gone, but there's a lot of criticism around the white narrative, savior. In The Help. So that's interesting as well. But I have to say it's very upsetting for me. I mean, my daughter's busy reading, or she's just finished The Help. And it led to such fascinating conversations in our house and discussing what was going on in America at the time in the 1960s versus what's happened in South Africa. It's the most incredible book. And it was a launch pad for so much positive discussion, and to just throw it out and say, well, you know, it had a white narration, savior narrative or something like that is really not to do the rest of the book justice. It's sad for me. What is wrong with Dumbo, by the way? Was he also racist?
So Dumbo was Black Crows.
Fine.
But just so you know, Pocahontas and Aladdin for now are safe, but they do come with warnings.
I thought that Justin Trudeau got Aladdin into trouble. Remember that, Sanati?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because he went to a fancy
Halloween
dress as
or costume
Aladdin.
Kind of thing, and he had a brown face.
Actually. Had brown face, but he actually looked very good, I have to say. And I'm not a Justin Trudeau fan.
He actually got
it
spot on,
but he did. I thought he does dress up quite well. I mean, he went to India and was wearing all the Indian outfits the whole way through that.
Thank goodness he didn't have brown face.
He didn't.
And then also, I mean, we get into that, and then we get into even cultural appropriation these days. So what is what? I mean, if you look at Kim Kardashian now, she did her kimono, which I thought was such a clever name, and it obviously offended the Japanese. I mean, you literally cannot do anything anymore without offending someone.
But I don't know that it did offend the Japanese, and that's what I find interesting and important around these conversations. It's the same as the conversation we had about Eskimo pies. There was one Inuit in Canada. That sounded terrible.
It's an Inuit.
No, she's a Inuit, this one. This one is definitely an Inuit. I don't know. Anyway, there was one Inuit in Canada who decided that it was offensive, but other Eskimos weren't. So I don't know. Does somebody get to speak for the whole of Japan and say that, you know, they're offended by Kim's kimono?
I mean, and she was very disturbed by it. In fact, not only that, but she'd produced something like 10 million individual items that had been already labeled.
Yeah, look, and I'm a Kim Kardashian fan, so to me, I was very upset by that.
Really, as long as you got your pair of Spanx.
No, I didn't say I buy her clothing. I just said I think she's brilliant. I think she's brilliant. I think she's smart. I think she's marketed herself well. I think she's great, actually. And she's done all of that while pretending to be this dumb, you know, just fashion, empty-headed thing. I think she's awesome.
I also didn't understand how people were on her case for having cornrows done.
First of all, she's married to a black man.
Exactly.
She has black children.
And she's got
She was literally trying to match with her daughter and, you know, had cornrows. And I actually saw even in South Africa, a lot of people criticized Rachel Golisi for straightening her child's hair. And people were up in arms because they were saying, but the child is basically black. And you're straightening, you know, a child's hair, and not letting her hair grow out of her hair, you know, as curly as it should be.
Wow.
And I'm just like, but it's her child's hair. And yes, sometimes a child has curly hair, but sometimes Rachel just wants to straighten the hair.
Wow. We are such know-alls, hey? We are so arrogant.
It's crazy.
Yeah, Jenny says it's...
But you know what I love?
Yeah.
Everyone wants to give their opinion. I think, you know what it is? I think also because we live in such a socially media sort of pervasive world that every single person believes that they are a commentator and a news reporter, and that it is their job and their duty in this world to criticize everyone.
And they've been appointed judge over it. The arrogance of that. Jenny said it's called offense appropriation when people are offended on behalf of a group of people who may be offended but usually aren't.
I love that.
Offense appropriation. I think that is is just absolutely absurd. Talking about boycotts, Dina, there's been a lot of, and I actually haven't gone into it just because it irritates me, and I know that that's a very, very, very poor excuse for somebody who's in media, but tell me about this Facebook boycott.
Now, so the bad news is that Mark Zuckerberg has lost $7 billion dollars, and that has been wiped off his fortune. But the good news is that he's going to be just fine.
Because we were worried. Here in studio, we were thinking of holding a collection for him. Me and Sanati.
Exactly. It was quite a dire situation for him. So basically what happened was a whole bunch of different companies got together and they said that they have decided to boycott advertising on Facebook for the month of July. So this is all part of a Stop Hate for Profit campaign, and it's backed by all the different sort of civil rights groups in the wake of the killing of George Floyd and Black Lives Matter. And all of these companies have gone to sort of have a big stand against Facebook because Facebook has just not done enough to filter and censor hate speech and anti-Semitism and everything, basically, anti-gay, everything. So they're saying that Facebook is just a cesspool and a complete platform that promotes all of this. So companies like Ben & Jerry's, Coca-Cola, Honda, Levi's, Lululemon, North Face, Starbucks, Unilever, and Verizon have all come together and said that they are not advertising on Facebook for the month of July. So, I mean, this sounds quite big, but to be quite honest, all of these companies aren't spending that much on Facebook. Facebook has sort of $7 billion worth of ad revenue, and for 1 month in July, it's not really going to make a dent. So it's more of a sort of a hoo-ha and a rah-rah than anything else that is going to actually make a fundamental change to Facebook.
So their complaint is what?
Their complaint is that Facebook has not done enough to filter and stop hate speech.
So Facebook must censor more. Is that what the left is saying?
Free speech, and they must censor it as much as possible.
Right. So the left is saying that there needs to be more limitation on freedom of speech. Which sounds...
It's actually amazing, the full circle that we've come to.
It is quite incredible. It really is. And the amazing thing is that you speak to people on the right and they will complain that Facebook's algorithms favors the left. So Facebook has to be doing something right. Because everybody's complaining.
I mean, Mark Zuckerberg himself is not exactly a racist or a bigot. So he has got to put policies in place and algorithms in place that do censor, obviously, to some point. But they're saying he hasn't done enough. So now they're up in arms to say, you know what, Facebook, you haven't done enough. So Twitter went and recently slapped on warnings with old Donald Trump, saying that what he could do is incite violence. And so they're saying that if it does incite violence, they'll take it off. Facebook has said the same. But and Facebook owns Instagram. So they're also not advertising on Instagram, by the way. And they're saying that if they don't do more, then they're just going to boycott these platforms continuously. So Twitter has those warnings already, but now Facebook have come out and said that they are going to be a bit more stringent. They do have committees that work on this. They do work with all those groups, those civil rights groups, to create more sort of barriers to like promoting all of this negative hate speech. And now what they're actually doing is they're going to slap warnings on political promotions, and also you'll be able to turn off if you don't want political ads. So that is what they're doing, but everyone's saying it's not enough.
Oh, dear.
I know it's exhausting. It's exhausting. And then not only that, but compounded with that is the fact that it's obviously the US elections in November, where it just gets into like a complete mess. So where we look at the Russian previous involvement in the elections and the manipulation and China and all of these wonderful things, a lot of those companies have said, you know what? We're not going to advertise for July as part of this campaign, but some of the companies are saying, you know what, we're not advertising on social media until the end of the year because it's just an absolute like circus, basically, and they're going to deploy their funds elsewhere.
Absolutely, absolutely incredible. It is 8:29. It's just, I don't know, where do you think it goes?
Listen, actually, at this point, no one can tell. I think the whole world is just so, like focused on creating an issue of anything. Like they just want to fight for something. They want to take a stand. They want to be important. They want to say what matters. That just, I think.
See, my biggest worry is that we are going to live in a personality-less world, because every advert has to be bland so as not to offend. Anybody dressing needs to be very careful that they haven't offended somebody. Humor has got to be so careful, and that's why. That's why it's dying. I mean, you know, when you look at late night TV in America, it is so horribly boring because the only thing that you're allowed to laugh at is Donald Trump, and most of the time it's not even funny. So it's so dull. Like, I don't want to live in that world.
Yeah, it has become that. There's absolutely no question. I mean, I even had myself on, I was looking on Instagram, a friend of mine who lives in the US in America, New York, and he is gay. He's got a partner. He's got two surrogate children, and they painted a birdhouse, you know, for obviously it's the whole LGBTQA+, all that whole, that week. And they painted a birdhouse to represent the multicultural and diversity. And then I thought, well, why doesn't he have a brown and black stripe on his rainbow? And then I knew I had also lost the plot.
Yeah, because we become so overly sensitive to it. Dina Diamond, we do need to leave it there. Thank you. As always, it is fascinating but sad, a sad conversation indeed.